Okay, let's get cracking. We are continuing to learn the first parak of Maseches Demai. Today we're actually going to finish the first parak of Maseches Demai with parak Aleph, Mishnah Gimel, and parak Aleph, Mishnah Dalet. Parak Aleph, Mishnah Gimel is going to discuss some more exceptions to the rule when it comes to Demai. Says the Mishnah, Halokech lo zera v'la behema. If a person buys food from an Am Haaretz, either to plant the seeds or the food, v'la behema, or to feed it to his animal, Kemach la'oros, or he buys flour from an Am Haaretz to put on his animal hide, on his animal skin. Shemen laner, if he buys oil from an Am Haaretz for his candle, he's not going to eat it, but he's going to use it to burn a flame. Shemen lasuchbo es hakelim, or he buys shemen from an Am Haaretz to use it to put on some of his utensils, some of his vessels. Very often, when you have certain materials, certain utensils that you want to use them, so if you put oil on them, it allows them to be used in an easier way. But the common theme, the common denominator between all of these usages is that you're not looking to eat the item that you buy from an Am Haaretz, rather you're looking to use the item that you buy from the Am Haaretz, from the unlearned person. So in all of these cases, potter min ha-demai, you are potter from demai, you don't have to separate demai, even though normally we're concerned, maybe the Am Haaretz didn't separate trumos and maaseros, but there's no concern of demai when it comes to using any of these things, because they're not going to be eaten, they're simply being used. Continues the Mishnah, mikziv ulehalon. So kziv is the name of a place, the name of an area of a city in the northern part of Eretz Yisrael. And what's unique about it is that's really the border of when Eretz Yisrael really ends. So once you go past Kziv, once you go past that area, then it's considered to be no longer part of Eretz Yisrael. Now the reason for that is because anywhere past Kziv was sanctified when the people, when the Ole, we refer to them as the Ole Mitzrayim, the initial generation, the people who came from Mitzrayim, lived in the Midbar, ultimately entered with Yehoshua to conquer Eretz Yisrael. So they did establish that area was part of Eretz Yisrael. But for our purposes nowadays, when we discuss the borders of Eretz Yisrael, we're only focused on the parts of Eretz Yisrael that were established, that were sanctified, not by the Ole Mitzrayim, not by the people in that first generation who came with Yehoshua, but rather with the Ole Bavel, with those Jews who returned after the Babylonian exile, after the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed when they were getting ready to try and build a second Beis HaMikdash. So then they ultimately established what the borders of Eretz Yisrael are for our purposes today. So mikziv ulhalon, so from this area beyond that, that's considered outside of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, technically, on a Daraisa level, you don't have to separate Trumos and Maizros. That being said, the rabbis came along and said that on a Darabanon level, because the Ole Mitzrayim, because that first group of people established and sanctified this area as being part of Eretz Yisrael, so on a Darabanon level, we say that the produce, the crops from that area, you should take Trumos and Maizros from, and you shouldn't eat it if there wasn't Trumos and Maizros taken from it. That being said, when it comes to demai, again, these are all exceptions, leniencies, kulas, when it comes to demai. So, says the Mishnah, mikziv ulhalon, from this area of kziv and beyond that, where we don't really on a daraisa level have to take trumas and maestros, but we do it on a derabanan level, patur min ha-demai. You don't have to separate demai. If an Am Haaretz that lives there, that has produce there, that has crops there, sells you or gives you items from there, you do not have to separate demai. You can assume that it's fine, because again, separating to begin with trumas and maestros in that area is only on a midrabanan level. Now, as we continue in the Mishnah, we're going to discuss various holy type of mixtures, holy type of produce, where we assume that if the Am Haaretz has it, if the Am Haaretz produces it, then we do not have to be suspicious, we do not have to be concerned that Trumos and Maestros were not separated. It says the Mishnah, Chalas Am Haaretz, the Chala of an Am Haaretz. I'm sure many of us are familiar with Chala. Chala, perhaps our mothers make it on Friday before Shabbos. But Chala is when a person's kneading dough or a baking dough and so on. So you have to separate a piece for the Kohanim. That's what Chala is. And says the Mishnah, Chala of an Am Haaretz, we're going to see, is Potter from Demai, because we assume it's such a holy thing that they definitely separated Trumos and Maaseros. Continues the Mishnah, Veha Meduma. Meduma is referring to a mixture between Truma, right, which goes to a Kohen, and chulin, which is just regular food. If you have a mixture of truma, which goes to a kohen, and chulin, which is regular food, so you can't differentiate. You don't know what's what. What's chulin? What could be eaten by a regular person? And what's truma? What must be eaten only by a kohen? So the only way to do it is you have to give that entire mixture to a kohen. So the Mishnah is saying, Amaduma, that if a kohen has this mixture of chulin and truma, we don't have to be concerned that if they're giving it to the kohen to begin with, we assume that they separated trumos and maestros, and we don't have to be concerned for demai. Continues the Mishnah. V'halakuach b'kesef maeser sheni. That if a person, like we discussed previously, that when you're redeeming maeser sheni and with money, so the assumption is that that when you bring that when the money is brought to Yerushalayim, and in Yerushalayim they take the money and they spend it on whatever they spend it there, because again maeser sheni means they redeem that money and then go to Yerushalayim and spend that money on stuff there and buy produce in Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh. So the Mishnah says v'halakuach because of maeser sheni, that if a person is buying an item in Yerushalayim with the maeser sheni money, so we don't have to be suspicious, we don't have to be concerned that it's demai, and we'll see peturin min hademai, that it is exempt from demai. Finishes off this section, the Mishnah says, Ushiyare ha-menachos, the last type of concoction, the last type of holy mixture that we don't have to be concerned about demai, are the leftover from the karban mincha. The way that a karban mincha, the flour offering, works is that first they would take a kometz, they would take a handful, a fistful of the carbon, they would burn that on the mizbeach, and the rest of the carbon mincha would be eaten by the kohanim. So says the Mishnah that when it comes to the shiare hamenachos, this leftover pieces, this leftover parts of the carbon mincha, of the flour offerings, we don't have to be concerned that the maestros weren't separated, even though these carbon mincha was given by an amaretz. It's a holy thing. It's something that's being brought in the Beis HaMikdash. So we're going to assume, for all intents and purposes, that they are not considered to be demai, as the Mishnah says, Pitura and Minha demai. All of these cases of holy concoctions, of holy mixtures, are putter from demai, are exempt from being included in the halacha of demai. Again, that's what we're discussing. The beginning of this of the Masechta isn't dealing with demai itself, but it's dealing with the exceptions of demai. Finishes off the Mishnah, Shemen Arev, when it comes to oil that was used as like a fragrant oil to make you smell nicer. It wasn't used to either eat as part of food, or it wasn't used to like, you know, a lot of times people would anoint themselves and put oil on their body. The halacha is that you can't, that if oil is being used to anoint on your body, then it's as if you're drinking it. And if it's as if you're drinking it, then demai would apply. But Shemen Arev is just talking about regular oil that was used. It smelled nice, so the people had this nice smelling oil. Beis Shammai mechayven. Beis Shammai says that if you have Shemen Arev, this fragrant, this nice smelling oil, then you are obligated in demai, because according to Beis Shammai, he disagrees with the first part of our Mishnah saying that the non-eating items are not obligated in demai. He holds no, that if it's bought from an Ama Aretz, then it's included in demai, and you must separate demai from it. Ubeis Hillel potrin, but Beis Hillel disagrees and says no, that your potter, this is only for smelling, it's not for eating, it's not for smearing, and therefore, according to Beis Hillel, the halacha of demai would not apply, it would be exempt when it comes to this nice smelling oil. Okay, now we're continuing as we finish off the first parak with parak Aleph, Mishnah Dalet, and we're also going to discuss a bunch of situations where you can use demai in various halachic situations, says the Mishnah. Hademai ma'arvin bo. Demai you can use for an Eruv. What does that mean? So there are actually two types of Eruv that we have in the area of halacha. One type of Eruv that is a little bit more common is what's referred to as Eruv Chatzeros. An Eruv Chatzeros, when you have a lot of different people who live in a courtyard, and they want to be able to travel, to carry, to hold things within that courtyard. So the way they work is they have a whole Eruv that we'll learn about a little bit more in Maseches Eruvin, that they make a Tzuras HaPesach, like a door frame around the area. But one of the requirements for an Eruv Chatzeros is that there has to be some sort of a food item that unites everyone. Someone, you know, a lot of times they'll have a box of matzahs, whatever it is, and they'll have that food item uniting everyone. As long as everyone in that courtyard is united, paid a little bit towards that food, then the Erev Chatzeros works and would allow you to walk around. Says our Mishnah that Demai can be used for that. Even if it's Demai, you could still have that be the unifying food that allows an Erev Chatzeros to work. The other type of Eruv is referred to as the Eruv Tchumen, that perhaps some of us know, as we'll learn also in Masechas Shabbos, a little bit of Masechas Eruvin as well. Eruv Tchumen is when you want to go 2,000 amos outside of your town that you live in. You are absolutely allowed to do that on Shabbos. You can go 2,000 amos, but in any direction, you can go 2,000 amos. But once you get to that 2,000 amos part, you can't go any further on Shabbos. That's called Tchum Shabbos, the limit of where a person can walk on Shabbos. And therefore, we have something called Erev Tchumen, that you could put food in that place that establishes your residence, that establishes your place of living for Shabbos. You're allowed to put the food there. And that allows you to go another 2,000 amos in that direction. So you're allowed, says the Mishnah, to use Demai for that as well. You could use Demai to unify, to unite the courier for Erev Chatzeros. And you can use the Demai, the food from an Am Haaretz, as part of the Erev Tchumen, to allow you to go an additional 2,000 amos. Continues the Mishnah, Umishtatvin bo. Similar halacha to the Erev Chatzeros, Umishtatvin bo means there's something called Shitufei Mavos, where basically you would have like these little alleys that also people wanted to carry and bring things from place to place. Also, they would have a food to unify everyone, and that would allow the Shitufei Mavos. Mavos means literally like an alley to work, similar to Erev Chatzeros, and that can be used for Demai as well. Continues the Mishnah, Umivarchin alav. And you can make a bracha on Demai. Even though usually it's actually a machlokas, Rambam Ravid, can you generally make a bracha on an item that is usher to eat? If you want to, let's say you're eating something non-kosher, but you're from guy, I'm going to make a bracha. It's a machlokas. Rambam Ravid, if you are allowed to do that, if you're allowed to make a bracha on something that is usher to eat. This mission is assuming, like the Ravid, that you're not allowed to make a bracha, like the Rambam rather, that you're not allowed to make a bracha on an item that is usher. But the exception is Demai, says the Mishnah. Demai, even though you really shouldn't be eating it, you're allowed to make a bracha on it, umbezamdin alav, and you can make a zimun on it. If it's bread, you can make a zimun, like we learned in the 7th parak of Masechas Brachos. It's described there in the first Mishnah that you're allowed to make a zimun on Demai. Umafrishin oso aro, and you can separate Demai, like we'll discuss later in the Masechta, when you are not wearing any clothing. Normally, you can't separate trumos and maizros when you are not wearing any clothing, because you can't make a bracha when you are not wearing clothes. But when it comes to Demai, there's no bracha like we'll learn when it comes to separating Demai, and therefore you may do so when you are not wearing clothes. Says the finishes off this section of the Mishnah, Bein Hashmashos. And you're allowed to separate the Demai, Bein Hashmashos, which is the period in between Shkia, sunset, and Seisa Kochav, when we have the stars coming out, which is really considered Lila, which is really considered night. Normally, you're not allowed to do Melacha, you can't do work on Erev Shabbos on Friday. That is Bein Hashmashos, because perhaps it's Shabbos, perhaps not. So certainly, you can't separate Trumos and Maizros during that time, because you're not allowed to make food fit for eating. It wasn't fit for eating. Now on Shabbos, you're making it fit for eating, so you can't separate Trumos and Maizros on Shabbos or during Bein Hashmashos on Friday. But there's the mission when it comes to Demai Yumein, because you're not really changing it in the same way as you would by separating Trumas and Maizros. And therefore, says the Mishnah, you may separate Demai when it's Bein Hashmashos on Friday. Okay. This Mishnah and the Parak is going to conclude by discussing a situation, just by way of introduction. We should know the last day of Pesach, Shvishal Pesach, during the 4th or the 7th year of the Shemitah cycle, people would do something called Vidoy Meiser. We'll learn more about it later in Seder Zerayim. But it's something called Vidoy Meiser, basically where the person has to confess and say that for the past 3 years, I gave Trumos and Meisers properly, appropriately, to the best of my ability, to the best of my knowledge. I gave it, I donated, I separated it in an appropriate way. The only thing, though, is that normally you have to do it in order. You have to start with Truma Gadola, then go to Meiser Rishon, and so on. You have to do it in the proper order of how a person separates Trumos and Meisers. Says the Mishnah, Im hikdim meiser sheni lirishon, if a person puts meiser sheni of demai and makes vidoy meiser on that meiser sheni, confesses and says, I did this appropriately and properly. But first he talks about meiser sheni of demai, and then he does a rishon, meiser rishon. It's out of order. First he does meiser rishon, and then meiser sheni. Ein bekach klum, says the mission, it's fine, it's not a problem, totally acceptable. Again, we're talking about demai, where we have a lot of these leniencies, and the halacha is not true when it comes to other regular truma and regular miser. Finishes off the Mishnah. Shemen shahagardi sachbetz bosav. You have oil that a weaver puts on his fingers for protection. Chayiv b'demai, says the Mishnah. You are obligated. This is the first time where we're learning about an obligation of demai, not an exception, not a cool, not a leniency, but an obligation, a chumra. That when it comes to a weaver, he's allowed, he would normally put oil on his fingers to protect his fingers. It was a lot of work and it would hurt his hand. But they'd put oil on their fingers. But says the Mishnah, chayiv b'demai, he would be obligated in separating demai. And the reason for that is because putting the oil on your fingers is like smearing it on your body, which we said is akin to drinking, and you certainly can't drink demai, and therefore you'd be chayiv in demai for if you're a weaver putting oil on your fingers. Finishes off the mission on the parak, v'sheh ha-sorek, no sin but semer. You have a guy who's combing different materials, and he puts oil on the wool to make it easier to comb. Potzer min ha-demai, would be potzer from demai, because that's certainly not using it for an eating purpose, not drinking, not putting it on his body. He's using it to comb the wool, and therefore the halacha of demai would not apply. Quick review, parak aleph, mishnah gimel. Taught us the principle. Generally speaking, it's how we paskin that demai does not apply when it comes to anything that's not related to eating or drinking or smearing on your body. But if you're just using it for your kalim, for your vessels, or for your animals and so on, then the halacha of demai would not apply. We discussed various concoctions, holy things that if the Am Haaretz is using it for bringing carbon mincha, challah, and so on, giving the mixture to a kohen with truma. We assume that it's not demai. We assume that the Am Haaretz separated trumos and maestros. We saw the machlokas with the Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding whether or not fragrant oil, which was generally something that was also not used for eating, is that included in the halacha of demai or not? And then in Perek Aleph, Mishnah Dalet, we learned various halachos of different types of Erev, of Shutufim Avos, making brachos, and so on. More exceptions when demai would not apply. And then we saw at the end a distinction between the weaver protecting his fingers, where he would be obligated in demai, versus a comber using it for his wool. Again, if you're using the demai for a purpose unrelated to eating, then it would not be included in the halacha of demai. Have a great day.